no one higher than the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I thought I'd, you may be seated. Just thought I'd share a praise report. Talked with Ben and Stephanie Thompson recently, and if you're familiar with cancer, there is a test that's done, and there's a cancer marker, is what they call it, and it just it basically indicates how much in your specific situation, how much cancer there is, and normal ranges like 0 to 35, something like that. And when Sister Stephanie was first tested and diagnosed, it was at like 135-ish, somewhere around there. And since then, the surgery that she had and the subsequent tests, it's gone down to 100, to 70, to 90, and now I believe it's at 75. And so we're just going to continue believing and praising the Lord, and it's just going to go down to nothing. Amen. So I just wanted to share that. I felt we just needed to be encouraged. Our prayers are working, and we're believing with Ben and Stephanie. Amen. Continue to pray. Amen. Book of Joshua opens up with a leadership change in the nation of Israel. Moses, who had led the people of God out of Egypt, had passed away. The promised land was ahead of them, and Joshua was now the leader. In Joshua chapter 2, spies are sent into the land to bring back a report of what they are going to face. The report comes back, and we're going to look at Joshua 2, 23, 24. It says, "So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, 'Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us.'" What a different report than 40 years earlier when the spies came back just fearful of the land. So here they're about to go in, and they're pumped. They're ready after all these years. Joshua chapters 3 and 4 to describe the miracle of them crossing the Jordan River on dry ground, just like they crossed the Red Sea those many years earlier. They've engaged the mind of God, the plan of God. They're many miles and many years away from Egypt. They're possessing the promise of God. And so the question is, now what? Where do they look to now? And so it is with us that there will come a time in our lives when we have engaged. Our hearts are miles from the world. We're possessing the promise of God, and we'll ask the question, now what? Where do I look? And tonight we're going to answer that very question, where should we look? To help us know where to look, we're first going to explore where we shouldn't look. Amen. Shriya Shah Clorfine was born in the country of Nepal on January 11, 1979. At age 9, she took a helicopter tour of Mount Everest with her father, which was when she got the dream of climbing Mount Everest one day. Well, she ended up leaving Nepal and then to India and then leaving there, marrying a Canadian man, settling in the Toronto area. It was years later, at the age of 33, that despite the lack of climbing experience that she had, that she followed her childhood dream to climb Mount Everest. And so it was on May 19th, 2012, after 19 hours of climbing, Shriya made it to the summit of Mount Everest at 2:20 p.m. Within 8 hours of reaching her goal, Shriya succumbed to exhaustion, lack of oxygen, and the weather, and was gone. She engaged the mountain, but didn't make it down. Why? It is reported that upon arrival at the summit, despite her dwindling supply of oxygen, she spent 30 minutes reveling in her accomplishment instead of continuing on her journey back down the mountain. Going down is just as equally important as going up and just as difficult. Church, we should not look back. We shouldn't look back on our victories and successes. Shriya immediately looked back. She reached her pinnacle goal, and she started reveling in it. But we can hang on to a victory 1, 5, 10, 20 years in the past and be bound by that victory, never further engaging in God's plan for our lives. And we live in the glory days, so to speak. The Apostle Paul grew up in the Jewish faith. He had the heritage, the education, the passion that folks dream of. Yet the Lord had more for his life, and so he was converted. And look how Paul addresses it in his letter to the Philippian church in Philippians 3:3-6. It says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh." If anyone's going to, I should. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence, I more so. "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law of Pharisee, I studied, I knew things. Concerning zeal, I went so far as to persecute the church, thinking they were anti what God was all about. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I held to the letter of the law. I did everything right." If we skip down to verse 13, what does he say? "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." We shouldn't look back at our successes and victories, but leave them behind us. There's an infamous story about looking back in the Bible, Genesis 19. Verses 16 and 17, this is the story of Lot and his family. They're in the cities, twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God is going down. Here's the wickedness. He's going to go destroy the cities. They're on their way out, and he says, "While he lingered, the men took hold of his hand," speaking of Lot, "his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside, then he said, 'Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed.'" Skipping down to verse 25 through 26. "So he overthrew those cities." God overthrew the cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. What was it in Sodom that Lot's wife was looking back to? Could it be the relationships that she had, the friends, the other loved ones? Could it be that she was looking back to see if her house had also been burned up and all her material possessions were gone? Could it be she longed after the everyday life, the everyday comforts, or the everyday pleasures? I mean, she's heading up toward a mountaintop, barren. And could it be that she was looking back one last time to what she was about to leave behind? Did Sodom represent the dream she had herself in life and she wanted to take another look? Church, when we engage with God, we may have to leave material things, some relationships, our own plans and dreams for our lives, our old ways of thinking and doing things. And it is vital that we don't look back to them and allow them to capture our hearts again. Jesus, when talking to the Pharisees about the coming of the Lord, said this in Luke 17, starting in verse 28. He says, "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back." Remember Lot's wife. To help understand the scripture, it is important to know that the houses in that day were flat-topped in that area. And usually there was a terrace or a space on the roof that folks could go hang out and relax, meditate, etc., pray. And from the rooftop, there was access back into the house, but there was also typically a staircase that went straight from the roof to the ground level, and you were able to exit immediately. It didn't require you to go inside. And what Jesus is saying is, don't look back to the goods and to the material possessions. Just leave. Don't look back. And so with the everyday of life, don't look back and hold on to those things. We shouldn't look back to the successes and victories, nor to the everyday of life. And lastly, we shouldn't look back to the defeats or to the scars in our lives. We all have made mistakes. We all have regrets. We have pain associated with our past. And if we're not careful, we can look back at those negatives in our lives and be held captive by our regrets and mistakes. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." In the areas of life where there's hurt and pain and regret, we shouldn't look back, but entrust those to God. And he promises that there is life where there was once death. Don't look back. Don't look back. So where do we look? Back in the day here at CGC, we had a very talented group of young people, musically wise, and I was blessed to be able to facilitate some events where we sang at rallies. We went to family camp one year, and one year we, one time we were invited to run music at a rally in Viola. It was a Friday evening. I think there was only about six, seven, eight of us. We piled into that old green church van, the classic monster beast of a van, and put all the instruments in it. This was before the minibus days. I mean, this was, yeah, scary driving. The further we got west, the more it snowed, and the harder it snowed. I remember getting a phone call from one parent like, "Yeah, I was looking at the weather." I'm like, "Oh, we're good. It's barely snowing," and because it wasn't at the time. 30 minutes later, we're like in a blizzard. But, you know, we'll be fine. Well, I'd never been to Viola. And when I looked at the map, it was taking us down a main road, and then that main road kind of hooked to the right, and there was Viola. And so I'm like, cool. And then I looked at the map, and I saw this little road that cut it off. Instead of going straight and hooking right, I could just get off and just get a little shortcut there. And so I'm like, that's what we're doing. As soon as we got off on that side road, I got nervous. There were no tire tracks on the freshly snowed snow. Snow that had, yeah. It was all fresh snow. Hadn't been traveled that evening since it began snowing. I should have turned around. And I don't remember who, I don't remember who was with me. So if you're here, you're probably having repressed memories right now. But I was like, we'll be fine. And then we came to one of the steepest hills that I've ever been on in my life. Dark outside, snow-covered roads, heavy van, green van. It was the green van, I remember distinctly. And the left side of the road, the right side, there was a hill going up. I'm like, cool. But the left side, it was like drop-off. Some of you have been out to Viola. I hadn't. And I'm in, you know, and so with a group of miners going downhill, I've never been so scared while driving in my life. Never have. Obviously, I'm here today, so we made it. But it was silence in the van. I think there was so much shock. There wasn't even prayers going on. It was just like, we are about to die. It's like one of those moments, like, do I push on the brakes at all? Or will that start to make the van slide? You know, you just never know. All because I looked right and I didn't stay on the path. Before crossing the Jordan into the promised land, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the new leader of Israel, in Joshua 1, verse 7. Says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." God spoke plainly to Joshua because he knows that when humanity is set into motion, when we engage, that it's too easy for us to start looking left or right and not stay in the direction that he set us in. What does looking to the left or the right equate to? Solomon states one thing plainly in the fourth chapter of Proverbs, verse 26. "Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." If we look to the right or left, we can be deviated by sin. James 1:14 says, "For each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." There's a plethora of ways we can be waylaid by sin. It could be pride in what we've accomplished in the past. Pride in thinking we should be doing more and recognized more. Lustful thoughts and actions, anger, laziness, complacency, pick your poison, whatever it may be. The fact remains that we can be drawn away into sin when we look to the left or to the right. Another thing that can happen when we look to the left or the right can be found in the book of Deuteronomy. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel before handing over the reins in Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 17. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land when you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. If we look to the left or right, we can be thrown off track by false doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3 through 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Let's break down the phrase, "they will not endure sound doctrine." The word "endure" means to hold oneself up against. The word "sound" means to have sound health. That is to be well. And the word "doctrine" simply means instruction. So let's rephrase it. They won't hold themselves up against the instruction that would be good for their spiritual health. Our son Josiah loves drumming. His favorite thing now is watching drum lines on YouTube. And he pulled out a ramekin and two pens and started drumming today. It was hilarious. But he'll use anything for drumsticks and then drum on anything. The other day, he decided to start drumming with a wooden toy kitchen knife. Thank you, Casey, for the knife and fruit thing that you can cut. He loves it. But he's using this toy knife. It's a toy knife, like you cut vegetables, so don't freak out. It's a real knife. He's drumming with that in one hand, and he's drumming on his other hand. And I told him that he was going to hurt himself. But he decided not to endure sound doctrine. And he ended up whacking his own hand a little harder than he wanted to, and he hurt himself, started crying. And that's just how we can be. We don't want to hear things, even if it's something that is good for us. So what happens? Let's break down scripture again. It says, according to their own desires, based on what we long for, because they have itching ears, because we want that longing scratched, like an itch that won't go away, just gotta keep scratching at it. They heap up them for themselves teachers, will accumulate voices in our lives. And what happens? They turn their ears away from truth. We'll turn from truth according to our own desires because we have an itch in our spirits. But we can also turn away from truth when there's questions in our lives. Robin Frank passed away a week ago, 41 years old, completely unexpected. For our church family, the friends, her physical family, those who are close to us, we often ask ourselves why. Why did God allow Robin to pass away? She was a vital member of CGC and Voces Unidas, close friend and encourager, a wonderful woman of God. And the fact is, none of us have that answer and may never get that answer in this life. My wife has shared her testimony of facing abuse as a child at the hands of her biological father. She has struggled with the question, why would God allow something that horrific to happen to a child who has no say in the matter? We can face other questions like, why did my parents divorce and now I'm raised in a single parent home? Why did I get let go from my job? Why did a wonderful person in our lives get a debilitating illness? We may have questions about the Bible. I don't understand why we have to live a holy life. I don't understand the oneness of God. I don't understand the necessity of baptism in Jesus' name or the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We all have questions arise in our lives. The bigger question will then be, will we look to the left or right? Will we, according to our own desires and because we have itching ears, heap up for ourselves teachers and turn our ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables? If we're looking left or right, we can be turned away from truth. If we're not supposed to look back, nor look to the left or right, then the logical place we would think to look is ahead. Pressed ahead. It makes sense, but I would propose to us tonight that we shouldn't even look ahead either. Joshua and the children of Israel cross the Jordan River, take down Jericho after following God's instructions. And pastor has made mention of what happens next, but let's read it again in Joshua chapter 7, starting verse 2. It says, "Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, 'Go up, spy out the country.' So the men went up, spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Don't let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Don't weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few.' So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai." Now, where does Scripture indicate that Joshua sought the Lord before moving on? Only after their defeat did Joshua go to God and ask, "What in the world happened, God? What's going on? Why did we just get defeated? You made all these promises that we would just take the land. What's going on?" A danger of looking ahead is that we'll jump at the next opportunity thinking that the door is open, there's little resistance, it must be a God thing, without checking first if it in fact is actually what God wants us to do. Sometimes open doors are tests. Just because everything looks great, just because that job that makes you move to another city and it just lines up and boom, 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 everything looks, if you we haven't sought God, we're looking ahead and not taking into consideration what the Lord wants for our lives. Are we willing to just jump at what our thoughts are for the perfect situation? Or are we willing to check with the Lord first? There's danger in looking ahead because we may go out on our own. There's another danger in looking ahead. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 5. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." You know the story if you're not familiar with it. Bridegroom comes back and the 5 wise have oil. They're ready to go. He said, "Come on." The 5 foolish didn't have any oil. They weren't prepared. And they're like, "Give it to us." "No, go buy it." They leave. And by the time they come back, bridegroom's already gone. They've missed it. The danger is that we think that we'll have time to do something. There's no need to rush. There's no need to be prepared because we don't see anything coming down the road. The 5 foolish virgins in this parable were caught looking ahead, not living in the present, being ready at all times. You know, we hear so much the God is coming soon, especially as young people, as young adults, and you know, you just begin to like, yeah, we've heard that so many times. I've heard it since I'm 38. I've heard it like, yeah, I'm feeling old now. Which I remember as a young person thinking 38 was like ancient. So I know all of you think I'm ancient. But I remember as a young person thinking like, we got plenty of time. I don't have to worry about things, you know. And that's too easy of something. We can just relax. We're good. We don't have to push on. We don't have to keep growing. We're settled in our place. We've engaged. And now we just kind of relax. And that is a danger. There's a danger in looking ahead because we may not see the need to engage until it's too late. So we shouldn't look back because we can be held captive by our successes of the past, the hurts and the failures of the past, and simply the everyday of our lives. And so where do we look instead? Let's revisit what Paul said. Remember, Paul was the one with the heritage, having done all this great stuff for the Lord. Philippians 3, but we'll read 7 through 10. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." We should look up with our past successes. then we'll have proper perspective and allow God to continue to work in our lives, not resting on our victories in the past. The Bible says in Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and what thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When we look up and entrust God with our finances, our relationships, our possessions, our comforts, we won't be tempted to look back like Lot's wife did, because our focus will be on Jesus and his provision. You know what? He may be leading me out of everything that's comfortable, and it may be looking like I'm going to a mountaintop where it's, you know, rocks and caves, and that's what it looks like. But you know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to worry about looking ahead. I'm going to look up to Jesus, not looking past. Amen. Let's read Isaiah 43 again. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When we look up and give God our hurts and failures from the past, he will do a new thing. Doesn't say I might do a new thing. I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. A road is going to be made in the wilderness of our past, and rivers are going to form in the desert of our past. When we look up, our past won't hold us back. We shouldn't look left or right, because sin can enter our lives and we can be led astray by false doctrine or questions that we have. Where do we look instead? Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the races that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. The temptation is to look left or right, but the pleasures of sin, the weights of this world, can hold us down. We're encouraged in Hebrews to lay aside those weights, lay aside the sins on the left and right of us, and look unto Jesus. Psalms 40, verse 4, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. When we look up, we're not going to be turned aside by sin in our lives. Amen. What about the questions that we have? 2 Peter 3:14 through 18. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should look up with our questions, remain steadfast, and we will grow in the grace and knowledge that God has for us. God is not afraid of our questions. If we can't understand why a dear sister has passed away, it doesn't worry him. He's not in heaven wringing his hands trying to figure out, well, how am I going to explain this one to them? When we have questions, that's when our steadfastness is tested. Our faithfulness to God is tested. Will we heap to ourselves teachers according to our itching ears, or will we look up and trust the Lord? God will not leave us alone in our questions. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The man of God in our lives is vital. I'm so thankful for Bishop and Pastor Roy, the pastoral staff here at Calvary Gospel, who feed us with knowledge and understanding. I remember Sister Linda Brown. I didn't see her tonight. She might be out. Might be here. Right there. I looked, you're like two rows too close, so I looked above. Man. But I remember, Sister Brown, this is a testimony and an encouragement that I've always taken and encouraged those who are new. You've talked about how when you were new in the Lord that you had questions. You had things that you didn't understand that your pastor, Brother Mike Tuttle, was teaching at the time. But you put your faith and trust in the man of God. You chose to be steadfast, submit to the teaching, even though you didn't necessarily understand. And I'm so glad for that testimony, because she said it took time. She didn't understand, but she remained steadfast, and God began to work on her heart. And there were some other things that needed to be changed before it clicked and before she understood and there was a revelation of what needed to happen and why she was doing what she was being taught. But it was the steadfastness and saying, you know what, this man of God is teaching this, and I may not understand. You may say, well, that I should understand. Bible's not complicated. What if there's something in your heart that God needs to work out in, and you won't understand if that is not worked out? And again, because we have this itch, this scratch, we got to scratch it. And so we start going out to all other sources, other voices, other teachers in our lives versus saying, you know what, I'm going to submit myself to the man of God. And if I don't understand, it doesn't matter. I'm going to submit myself to the man of God and let them speak. And Lord, work on my heart. What is it that's blocking me from understanding, from getting this concept? And the Lord will teach you. The Lord will, you will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the witnesses, like Hebrews 12 talked about, like Sister Brown, who stood steadfast and have taught us that we can learn when we submit and just submit to the teaching of the Lord. Amen. So much, amen. We have to remain steadfast. I think about, and I had this in my notes, but I thought about it earlier, but the questions of parents whose children may not be serving the Lord anymore. I can't imagine that now that I have a son, if he would someday walk away. But that is looking back and to say, well, did I make mistakes? Don't live in the past. Look to God and entrust your child anew to God. That God is going to work it out. God is going to reach into their life. And God is going to bring them to a place that they come running back to the Father. And he's going to be there with open arms. Our church is going to be there with open arms. Amen. Amen. And finally, we shouldn't look ahead, as we talked about, because we might jump at opportunities or take actions without seeking the will of God. Or we may not take action at all, thinking we have all the time in the world. Where do we look instead? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We know the scripture inward and outward. I've preached this so many times, one of my favorite, but it's so true. It goes on to say if we need wisdom, if we need correction, he's going to do it. He's going to take care of our lands and our possessions. We don't need to worry about that. Just trust in the Lord, and he's going to direct. You're stressing about a job opportunity or an opening for your small business, man, put that in the Lord's hand. Trust him. He'll direct your path. He'll lead you. He'll give you the wisdom, the godly wisdom, to make the right decisions. Amen. And if you would stand with me, musicians would come. Psalm 121, I want to read. Listen to this. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He's not going to fall asleep on the job like, oops. That's right, they had a big decision to make. Forgot to set the alarm so I could give them the wisdom. No, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. The Lord is your keeper. Man, it's encouraging. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out, your coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Whether we're tempted to look back, look left, look right, look ahead, we should look up, because God's got it all taken care of. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. He'll help us with the hurts, the pain. He'll help us stay on the path, the right path. Church, we need to look up. Don't allow yourself to turn around and look back. Don't look left or right to the pleasures of sin or to a teacher who seemingly satisfies that itch. Don't look ahead trying to figure life out, thinking you've got time or thinking you've got time to make a decision for the Lord. Jesus has all the answers. He will keep you. He'll protect you. He'll preserve us. He'll guide us. We just need to look up, give our lives to Him. Don't get engaged and think, okay, I'm possessing my promises, Pastor talked about. I've gone out of Egypt. Now I'm going to engage. Thanks God. I'm out of here. I'm just going to keep pushing on my own. No. Once you engage, especially, that's when you need to look up. Say, okay, God, now in the engagement part of my life, now lead me, guide me, direct me. Help me not to go left, right, back, forward. Just look up. Look up. Amen. As they begin to sing, I want to encourage you to come find a place to pray up here in the front area. If you need a touch of the Lord in your life, there will be folks who will pray with you. If you need a healing, amen. Don't look back. If there's regrets, if there's pains in your life that you're looking back, bring it to the altar and lay it down and say, God, I'm not looking back. I'm going to trust you. If you've had some successes or victories, you need to put those down and say, God, I'm not going to hold on to those. I'm going to look for the next one, God. If you struggle with questions, come on down and give those questions once and for all to God and say, God, I'm going to submit myself, whether I get it or not immediately, Lord, I'm going to submit my question to you and allow you to grow me in your grace and knowledge. Won't you come? Hallelujah, Jesus. We look to you, Jesus. We look to you, God, with our lives. Hallelujah, Jesus. We look to you, Jesus. We look up. Oh, we look to you, God. Can never